Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to REN First Quarter 2025 Results Conference Call. We appreciate your presence today. Joining us are the members of REN's Executive Committee, Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, Gonçalo Morais Soares, our CFO, and João Conceição, our COO. Rodrigo will begin with his opening remarks, and this will be followed by a detailed overview on REN's operation and financial performance for the first quarter. Following the presentation, we will open the floor for your questions. Thank you again for your attention and continued interest in REN.
Thank you, Madalena. Good morning, all. I'm sure we will have some questions about the blackout today, which probably we will have less questions than usual about the business. As you know, the quarter results were fine. We had a busy quarter with good results in Portugal, also in Chile, and all in all, everything was going perfectly without surprises until, of course, April 28. Even that, we managed properly. Gonçalo will guide you through the presentation as usual. Just a note on the Q&A and the blackout. We have been communicating a lot since the event start. We shared information publicly. We made several interviews during and post-event. Just to anticipate what will happen on the Q&A, we will try to answer all the questions, but we are not going to go beyond the facts we have. As you know, there are multiple audits in progress, some in Portugal, some in Spain, some at European level. We trust that in a few weeks, we will be able to have more data, and for sure, that will be shared publicly. With that, we move to the presentation.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good morning to you all. Slide four on the summary, just to say, the financial results of the quarter are good. I'd say they are uneventful. They are completely in line with expectations. In terms of EBIT, it was pretty stable, so no major news there. I'll go into that, but I'd say pretty stable with small increase in Portugal, small increase in Chile, but I'd say pretty stable. Net profit is increasing quite a lot, but that is given to the fact that typically on the first quarter, due to the accounting of the full amount of the levy, it's very small. Since we are also now, as we had explained in the full year accounts, accounting for the 25% of the tax incentive that we have, that kind of creates this variation, but it's mostly due to that. In terms of net debt, strong decrease. This is given to the fact that there is small CapEx still in this abnormal in this quarter. I would not expect this level of cash flow going on average, so we are happy with it, but I'll go into a little bit more detail. In relation to CapEx, it's a little bit too early. I think everything is okay, but it's a bit early to give you any, I'd say, any proper feedback. Let me hand over to João that will go through the operating part. João.
Thank you, Gonçalo. Good morning to you all. From the operational side, obviously, the blackout of last 28th of April is probably the most relevant issue. As you know, the causes of this blackout are still under investigation. There is lots of information that we have already, but it's still impossible to have a plausible and solid conclusion what were the causes of all this. We managed to put the system into operation fully in Portugal in less than 12 hours, so before midnight Lisbon time. We did this with full articulation with the Portuguese authorities as well as the other stakeholders, both generators, the distribution operator, as well as our counterpart in Spain. Coming back to the other indicators from the renewables energy sources, this first quarter, we stay above 80% of renewable sources supplying the total consumption of Portugal. This is a slight decrease versus last year, last 2024 first quarter, Having said that, if we take the picture with a couple of months more, wait to the end of April, we increase a little bit this 80.5%-83% with an important share of hydro generation, as we are going through a quite a wet year. So we have plenty of water in our dams, which is very positive for the hydro generation into the system. Jumping into the slide number 7, you have an overview of the operational indicators. As I mentioned, renewable share in electricity decreased a little bit versus the first quarter of 2024. Still, with the latest information, this 8.5% is increasing. Now, until the end of April, we are having 83%. In terms of consumption, we saw a slight increase of consumption of electricity in Portugal. Even if we can do the normal corrections for temperature and the weekdays, this increase was around 2%, which is a figure that we are anticipating to be the one by the end of the year. Gas transportation, consumption of gas, basically, it didn't change very much the overall consumption of gas in Portugal, although there was a change in the sense that what we call the conventional consumption, so industrial and households, decreased around 6% versus the first quarter of 2024, which was offset by an increase of the usage of gas to generate electricity on our combined cycle plants. So when you look to the consumption of gas from the distribution perspective, and you see this decrease of 8.2% versus last year, this is almost in line with the overall figure of conventional consumption that we have for the country. In terms of the availability rates, as well as in the average interruption time, in the first quarter, nothing much to be said. Of course, the 28th of April events was later than that, and we are still waiting for the decision of the regulator regarding if it's considered to be an exceptional event, and therefore is not considered in terms of our quality of service indicators. And with that, Gonçalo, I give it back to you.
Thank you very much, João. So slide number 8 is just the main numbers. I'll jump through that and go straight to slide number 9 in EBITDA. So, on asset and OpEx remuneration, this is mostly driven by amortizations and by the solar agreements that are contributing to this increase. In OpEx, I'd say that there's some timing of some costs and some costs that are actually recognized also in revenues. I'll go a little bit into that. And in international segment, I'd say that it is increasing now around 12%, in line with what expected. You see that international grows a little bit as the weight, but as you can see, Portugal is and always will be the priority, and international is around 5% now. Looking at slide 10 on RoR evolution, there is basically no major change, so that's why you see that base RoRs are basically flat versus last year, so no change there. In terms of investment, this is a little bit too early to tell you, so you see an increase. We are expecting a strong CapEx year. Execution is going well, but it's too early to make any other comments. I'd say that everything is going according to plan, and we should expect, as I said, a strong CapEx year. In terms of slide number 12, you see the evolutions of the returns of the several businesses, so electricity growing mainly by asset-based evolution. Actually, if you make the calculations of the RAB evolution, taking into account the solar agreements, what you'll see is that from 2023 to 2024, having the solar agreements, we grew around a little bit over 2%, so around 2.3%. And what we are expecting this year, if everything goes according to plan, is that that growth will increase again. So we should be around 3.54%. Let's see how things go. But so we are accelerating the growth on the electricity assets as we had told you in the business plan. Gas transportation is still coming down due to the asset evolution, and gas distribution is more or less set. Okay. In terms of OPEX, what you see is this increase of close to 9%. Personnel costs is the smaller part here, and we know that they are growing as we are still growing people, but they are, I'd say, more or less stabilizing on core external. Part of these things are related to the electricity in the LNG terminal, as you see. You cannot see it, but this 700,000 is more or less neutral then, or will be neutral in terms of EBITDA, because we also have more revenue, so it's not really additional OPEX. So OPEX is growing on the core external costs less than we are expecting. Some of other costs, are, I'd say, are also, there's some timing issue. So yes, we'll have costs growing this year, but I'd say a little bit less than what you are seeing here. Okay. In slide 14, talking about Chile, as I said, no surprises. So Transemel, the electricity company, growing as expected. So EBITDA growing around 13%. So we are back to this growth trend that we were supposed to see. So I think that this is going to consolidate over this and next year as the auctions that we have been winning and some of the other constructions start to come online. Okay, just a note that we did announce the acquisition of that small company, Tenza. It operates around 190 kilometers in Chile, so this is completely in line with what we want to do in terms of strategy, which is to grow organically and very small, I'd say, asset acquisitions without increasing Chile above a small percentage of what it represents inside REM. Okay, Electrogas, the gas company, is, I'd say, pretty much stable and with no major news. So below EBITDA, see depreciation evolving in line with revenues, also of amortization, so no news there. In terms of financial results, they are, I'd say, also they have a very good evolution this quarter. Average cost of debt is stable, as we had said, so they are, I'd say, in the 277, so slightly below 2.8. We don't think that this is going to change materially now. There is also an impact, and we'll see that, of net debt coming down because of several reasons that impacts the financial results. And there's also some impact of positive exchange rate evolution. As you know, last year it was negative. The year before it was positive. So it's something that kind of every year is positive or negative and is more or less neutral on the longer term kind of view. In terms of taxes, and so what you see here is the full amount of the levy being accounted. And there are no, in relation to the levy, there are no new news. There's nothing new that we know apart from what we have already told you on the full year event. So there's no other news from the court. There's no other news from the government or from the budget. So I'd say everything is as it was. So although the news were positive and the trend is positive, and we are very hopeful that this is going the right way, as of now, we are still being conservative and putting it into the account. As you know, this is only paid in October. So we will see how this evolves along the year. Furthermore, as I said, we accounted for the 7.5 million, which is our best estimate as of now, of what is 25% of the full year amount of the tax incentives. And we also had some other positive impacts around a little bit below 2 million euros of other taxes that we recuperated from previous years. Okay, that's why it's kind of slightly lower also than we have anticipated. So in slide 16, the full picture. So I'd say EBITDA flat, and you have a good contribution from financial results and from income tax that helps this growth. It's a little bit like this on a full year amount. This will change because, as you know, the tax incentive was fully accounted for last year in the fourth quarter. So on the full year amount, you'll see this kind of level out. On the first, second, and third quarter, we will always have this, I'd say, positive year-on-year impact of the tax incentive. Going to net debt on slide 17. So this had a very positive evolution, and there are several reasons to this. On one side, still some correction on tariff deviation. So I think this is now stabilizing around 100 million number that we should expect. So it can be a little bit higher, should can say where it is. But so it was, I'd say, some of the final correction. Secondly, CapEx is, I'd say, a lower quarter in terms of execution, so slightly less burden. The dividends are not paid here, so it's part of what you'll see in the second quarter. And also, finally, on the other, you see that there is a positive impact there of minus 76 million almost. Part of this is relating, or most of all of it is relating to the solar agreements, around 70 million. So this is what, as we told you, we receive some of the money in advance as we are executing the agreement. So there is going to be, at the start, sometimes in any given quarter, we may receive it and execute the following quarter. So in any given quarter, you can see a positive impact, or you can see the CapEx being a little bit higher than what you're expecting. But this is completely normal, and this is related to the solar agreements. Maturity, as you see, is still a little bit above 5 years. You can expect that in the second and third quarters, this is going to come down a little bit until we issue a new bond, which is expected before year end, and then I think this will recuperate. We are also always refinancing the loans that we have, so we are aiming at maintaining this around this, but it may come down a little bit and go up a little bit more, but I'd say no news on the net debt side. Slide 18, just sharing evolution. So I think we've been having a good share price evolution this year, even despite some turbulence. Recently, I think it was pretty stable, and we are clearly ahead peers and the market. Okay. Moving very quickly through the ESG information and to slide 20, just to tell you and that we are continuing to develop and execute our strategy. What you see here in terms of gas emissions going up is mainly due to the fact that in the beginning of the year, more CCGTs were used, so we had more gas-produced electricity, and because we had more gas-produced electricity, we feel this a little bit, but I'd say that is the normal. For instance, as João said, as more renewables come online, you'll see slight changes in this feature along the year, so I'd say nothing very different. Slide 21, I will not go into it, it's just for your reference, it's a little bit more information. And slide 22 is just to tell you that as you see, our efforts are being and continue to be rewarded in terms of the ratings. We do not leave for these ratings, but this is a reflection of the good work that is being done, and they are having positive evolutions in most of them, and in some of them the same, but I think this shows the work being done on the ESG front. As closing remarks, so I'd say pretty good results, very much in line with what we expect, stable EBITDA, strong CapEx that you'll see full year, net profit growing on tax reasons, I'd say unusually high cash flow contribution, as I explained before. Bear in mind also in terms of dividend that the dividend is being paid now on the 13th and today, and it's the extra dividend date, so that's why you see correction on the price in the market. and we will be paying the dividend as agreed. Okay? So thank you for your attention, and we will now open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, dear participants. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw a question, please press star one one again. Please stand by, we'll compile the Q&A roster. This will take a few moments. And now we're going to take our first question. And it comes from the line of Flora Trindade from CaixaBank. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Thanks for the presentation, for taking my questions. The first one, and I know you can't share a lot of details on the blackout, but just wondering if you have been asked any compensations following the blackout, and how will you manage this potential risk? And then two questions on results. So you mentioned that you don't see this performance of cash flow throughout the year, but you have ended the quarter with 2.3 billion net debt, and you have a target of 2.5-2.7. So can we see a lower than the target, the debt for year-end? And then on the target set in the Capital Markets Day for net profit, these were not including the incentives on the recapitalization of operating companies. I was just wondering to understand whether it would be simply adding this incentive, or if you do see any other adjustments that we would have to make to these targets. Thank you.
Okay, I will start, and then we move to Gonçalo. In terms of any type of compensation, we've not been asked any compensation, you know, and for the moment, we have no comments to do in relation to that. You know, João briefly mentioned, you know, how the event will be classified, et cetera, but, you know, nothing to share from our side.
From the results on the cash flow, I mean, as of now, we are not revising that number on the net debt. As I told you, it's an, I'd say, an unusually better than expected quarter in terms of cash flow. But I think as time goes by, what you'll see is that now we are going to pay the dividend, now we are going to execute some of the CapEx that we already received. Now, João is going to execute more CapEx in the third and fourth quarter, as is usual, in relation to this. So what you'll see is, things happening in line, more in line with what we said, so we are not anticipating any major difference. It can be a little bit below what you said or what we said, but, we are not seeing anything. On the incentive, I mean, there's other adjustments, of course, versus the plan, because in the plan, but we don't issue differences. But for instance, interest rates are lower than they were in the plan. So what you see is slightly lower rates of return in some cases than you had in the plan, slightly lower costs of funding that you had in the plan. But I say that this one, the tax incentive, is clearly a large number that was not included. So, that number you can add, because it was not included at all. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. Just give us a moment. The question comes from the line of Ignacio Domenech from JB Capital. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is also in relation with the blackout in Iberia. I was wondering, on the identity incentive, okay, the regulatory incentive, could this blackout have an impact on the KPIs, and in turn, you would be entitled to have a lower regulatory incentive in 2025? And still on the blackout in Spain, you are now in Iberia, sorry, you are now approaching the regulatory review. So I was wondering if you think this could change the stance, no, from the regulator in terms of of incentivizing networks in Portugal. Okay. Then my second question is related to with Chile on the recent acquisition of Tensa. I was wondering if you could give us some color on the strategy there. No? If you think this is an interesting market, so you think we could see other minor acquisitions there, which could also give Ren some scale in the Chilean market. And lastly, on the taxes in 2025, you booked the special energy tax in the quarter. Last year, we saw in the last quarter an offset following some decisions from the Constitutional Tribunal. So I was wondering if this situation could be again repeated. Right? I understand that you don't have any notifications yet, but I would assume this could be something going forward. So just a bit of color there. Thank you very much.
So thank you for the questions. I will start with the IMDT incentive. As you know, the IMDT incentive has three components, the availability rate of the network, the interruption time and the interconnection capacity. Starting by the last one, all the decisions that are being made by the in the interconnection capacity are fully articulated with our government. So that will depend on the position of the government. Whereas the two others will depend on the decision of the regulator regarding if it considers an exceptional event this event. All the indicators show that the event started not in Portugal, and therefore we have to wait for the decision of the government. And in addition to that, I think that it's relatively consensus that the work that was done after the blackout was considered to be a good work by everyone. And therefore, we will have to wait for this decision on the regulator specifically to see what are the if there is any impact on the IMDT, although we are positive.
Regarding the what is the impact of this event in the minds of the regulators, government, you know, energy agencies in the European Commission? I think this event was it was so strong and so sudden that it's making all the decision makers, all the stakeholders, thinking about what should be done in the future. We all know that we have to do a few things probably differently in the future. We all know that probably it will be needed more investment. People understand more the type of risks we all face as countries. And I'm sure this will have an effect in terms of how people see the financing and the investments in the future for energy. Then I think the expectation is that things will change with this extra concern that we have now in our minds, and it's not going to be different in the future.
Okay, so relative to Chile and U.S. So this is completely in line with what our thoughts were. This was a very small asset acquisition. If we have another opportunity that is similar, we can look into it. The issue here is that, first, in terms of returns, we are executing things where returns are actually very much aligned also with greenfield execution. So we are being very disciplined on this. Secondly, when we do these small asset acquisitions, we are also substituting some of the capex or the capital that we would be allocating in the following years on options. So we are not thinking about allocating much more capital or more capital to Chile. This is more a way of sometimes anticipating things and making things go a little bit faster with similar returns. At the end of the business plan, instead of Chile going from 4.5% to 6%, imagine it goes from 4.5% to 6.5%. So it's exactly the same. We are not going to make any major change. We like it, but it's small and it will continue to grow in this small sense. In terms of the quarter and the offset of the levy that you asked, so there's no news. So the only thing I can tell you is that if tomorrow we have more cases that we won, that we were sure that we would be receiving the money, we would account for them as we accounted for them last year. So the accounting policy is the same. So we just have to wait for the news to come from the court. So, but we have no new news relating to that. So there's nothing new that I can tell you. Of course, every year, new court cases are decided. So the most likely thing is that something will happen during the year, but we don't know. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. And it comes from the line of Fernando Garcia from RBC. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. So the, since the blackout, there was a change in the system operation. As far as I know, Portugal just resumed imports from Spain. I think this is limited to 1 gigawatt. So my question there is, when you think you can start operating normally? And maybe you you need to wait until the reasons of the blackout are known. The second question comes for a follow-up of a previous comment that you, Rodrigo, did, no? That it was, in that sense, if you have any feedback from the Portuguese regulator about investment that needs to be done in order to limit the risk of the blackout in the future. I think this might be a little bit too early, but any indication here would be highly appreciated. No? And last one is, if you experience any frequency oscillation coming from Spain that was very different to normal in the minutes, hours, days before the blackout. Thank you very much.
Well, starting further by the first, when are we expecting this to come to normal? The sooner as possible. We are being implementing these measures that are known, completely articulated with our government and the Portuguese authorities. We are following very closely the outcomes of the wholesale daily market and what the Spanish TSO Red Eléctrica is implementing as additional measures for security, and as soon as we can consider that there is more information and also a clear evidence that we are all coming back to normal, we will obviously adjust and change the status of the interconnection to normal. Jumping to the last question on the frequency oscillation, yes, we do confirm we had some voltage oscillation and a slight frequency oscillation some minutes before. But the major event happened, as you know, in just 5 seconds at 11:33 Lisbon time.
On the on your question about feedback from the regulators, so far, you know, we, as you anticipated, it's still early. You know, we do not have any, you know, feedback from the moment. You know, of course, we have contacts, we speak with them, they speak with us, and we follow, you know, the event, and we exchange information. But, you know, this is just, you know, in the beginning of the process, the regulator, they will have to go through their, you know, the process of reviewing, you know, the future regulation. As I said before, you know, this is going to have an impact for sure in the way the people think about the future. Jean already mentioned, in fact, we had a very, very good interaction with the government during all this situation. You know, I think they allow us to do our job. We manage you know, all the process as we wanted. I think we did it. You know, of course, this is our view, but I think overall the evaluation is extremely positive in the way we did it. We were very well trained, but you know, this is you know, the first time it happened. I would say it's the first time at this level that happened in Europe since there is an organization of energy like the one we have today. And you know, you don't do a live training. It's impossible. This it was, you know, the first time that it happened. And I'm sure we deserve, you know, a lot of trust from all the, you know, regulators, energy agencies, the government, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 11. Now we're going to take our next question. And the question comes from the line of Enrico Bartoli from Mediobanca. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. A few questions on my side. First of all, if you can elaborate on what you are seeing in terms of requests for data centers to your electricity transmission grid in Portugal, and what is the outlook that you expect from this source of demand over the next years. And then if you can give us some guidance on the CapEx that you expect for full year 25. And then I have a question regarding results. I saw that there was a significant increase in the OPEX revenues in electricity transmission in the quarter. If you can elaborate on the driver for that and if this is, let's say, a trend that we are going to expect also over the next quarters. Thank you.
Well, first on the, you know, the data centers, I don't know if João wants to add some comment, but you know, the type of requests we are seeing is, you know, we have several projects being evaluated by the investors, you know, several connections being evaluated by ourselves. It's a little bit you know, a hot topic everywhere in the world with the ups and downs. You know, we see some of the projects in Portugal moving, you know, like the Sines data center. They are moving with their plans. They finished the first phase. We believe they are very committed for the next phases. And I don't think we can really comment much at this point. João, do you want to
everyone is following the regulatory and legal procedures, so they are presenting the requests to connect to the grid of consumers, data centers, and other bigger industrial consumption. We have to check if there is the availability of the network for those connections to be granted. If that is the case, we give them. If there is an overload of requests versus the capacity that is available, we have to inform the Portuguese authorities, both the government and Direção-Geral de Energia, as well as the regulator, requiring the analysis of a possible special area for a big consumption of this industrial site. So that's where we are now. We are also waiting for some feedback from the government and the regulator to follow on the next steps.
On your question on CapEx, so as I said, we are expecting a strong CapEx here. So I'd say that if everything goes to plan, we can see about 400 million of CapEx this year. So let's see. So it's a little bit early. But we clearly have a target to execute more CapEx this year. We will see where we end up, closer to 400, a little bit above 400. And so I'd say that in terms of revenues, there was nothing, I'd say, unusual. It's the normal TOTEX revenues, the normal asset revenues. I mean, there was nothing unusual in the numbers or below the numbers that we are seeing. We are seeing the solar starting to contribute. So I'd say nothing out of the ordinary on the EBITDA from the revenue side. Okay. Thank you, Enrique.
Thank you.
Thank you. The speakers are done for the questions for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team for any closing remarks.
Thank you all. We appreciate your time and your questions. As usual, remain available offline for any additional issues you may have. Have a good day. Thank you all.
Thank you.